Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean in the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. I am so excited to be back on our radio broadcast on tonight for our supposed to be praise, prayer, and prophecy hour, but we're going to have our Bible class on tonight. We're in the book of Revelation, and we want to see what God is going to reveal to us on tonight. I give God praise on tonight and glory and honor. I give reverence to God, who is the head of my life, and to everyone in their respective places, to Apostle Dean in his absence, and to everyone else in their respective places. I just want to call our Bible class to order now. We're going to have a song, a scripture, and a prayer. Amen. And we're going to get started in the Word of God. Amen.
Keep you near and may your trouble show that you need God, and may your battle in the way they should, and may your battle prove that God is good, and may your whole life prove that God is good. See, may your struggle keep you in the cross, and may your trouble show that you need God, and may your and may your message prove that God is good. May your life prove that God is good. May your struggle keep you near the cross. And may your trouble show that you God, and may your battle give the praise. May your message prove that God is good. You let your prove that God is good.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. We're going to get ready for our scripture reading. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 21. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withholden the request of his lips. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty has thou laid upon him, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceedingly glad with thy countenance. For the king trusted in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thy hand shall find out all things, all thy enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thy anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shall thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. I have just read you from Psalm 21, from the first verse down to the 10th verse. May God richly add a blessing doers of its most holy word. Father, we come tonight humbly before your throne of grace, Lord, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come on tonight, Father, first of all, just giving you all the praise and glory, magnifying your name on tonight. We come asking you, Lord, confessing and repenting and asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then, Father, we ask you tonight to bind the strong man up tonight. Bind up the strong man, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Bind him up, Father, from our radio broadcast and from our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus, and cast him out and command him to go. Every cohort, every demonic force, every demon on assignment, your assignment has been canceled from our lives and from this radio broadcast, in the name of Jesus. Father, I just ask you tonight to open up our understanding. Open up our minds and our hearts, our spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus, minister to us through the word of God. Reveal, Lord, reveal this revelation to us, Lord. We'll be careful to give you the praise. And I'm asking you now to let me decrease that you may increase and minister and teach unto us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the rabbi anointing. In the name of Jesus, I give you praise tonight, and I give you glory. I give you praise, we give you praise, and we give you glory. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen and amen. Amen. I just thank and praise God, like I said, on tonight for another opportunity to be back on our radio broadcast on tonight. God is so good. He is so good. And I just give him praise. I give him honor and I give him glory on tonight. We're going to get right on into the book because we want to make sure we get the best understanding we can. And I mean, we're still in the first chapter. We haven't even really gotten too far. I think we're on the 7th or the 8th, maybe the 9th verse. But I just want to read a little of the purpose of this book, of the book of Revelation. The purpose is, the main purpose of the book is to show how Jesus will come again. He will win the fight against the devil. The victory is already won. Jesus will save his people. He is with them now, some of them, and he will be with them beyond the end of time. John writes this to teach and correct Christians. He tells them to change where they are doing wrong things. He encourages them to continue to do the right things. John speaks about the troubles that the churches had. He tells them about the troubles that they will suffer. He shows them how in the end Jesus will rule over all, and those who trust in Jesus will be with him. And then the style of this book is prophecy. John calls this book the book of prophecy, Revelation. The Lord told him to write it. Write what you have seen. Write what is happening now. And write what is going to happen after these things. The Lord told John to write about the present and the future. The book shows the event that will lead to the end of history. And the time of this, the book was written was in, let me see, in the year AD 81 to 96, and AD means after Jesus' birth. So that's the year and the time that it was happening. You know the writer was John, because I didn't do the introduction last time. And he wrote to the churches in Asia. He described himself as their brother in the family of God. The Christians in Asia probably knew him well, Asia in this book is part of the country that we know now that we call Turkey. But early times, Christians have believed that the writer was the Apostle John. We know that the Apostle John lived in the city called Ephesus, but he was on the island called Patmos when he wrote this book. The rulers had sent him from him there as a punishment. He was there because he taught the word of God, and that's what happened. That was like a punishment for him. The book warns those who do not obey it. It comforts those who do obey it, and it shows the faith of God's enemy, and it shows how God will provide for his people. People have tried to explain this book in many ways. There are good reasons for each of these methods. And we're going to learn all about all of them. Now, John starts telling about the book. John tells us about this book in Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And we didn't been through that. And John greets the churches from chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. So, did I read that or not? But, yeah, I did read it. Yeah, I did read it. But we're going to go now where Jesus Christ speaks to John. We're going to start at chapter 1, verse 9. And I'm going to read that chapter. It says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle called Patmos. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, Pergamos, and unto Sardis, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the path with a golden girdle. His head and his hair was like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn and in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So we're going to go from here. It's all good, because I'm telling you, when I tell you it's good, because you can imagine if it had been you, if it had been you that the Lord was talking to, how would you deal with, how could you deal with what he did? He said he turned to see that voice that he heard behind him. It was a great voice as a trumpet. And he said, the voice said, I'm Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamum, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia and Laodicea. I mean, I've heard God before. I've heard him before. But it was like a call for him to be a messenger or do what God called him to do. So God wants us to write the vision and make it plain. So he told him to write it. Write it in the book. Now, this just me talking right here, because this thing just had me so excited today. I was reading on it and in it and about it, and I got some good commentaries and dictionaries and stuff. I was in it. Now, verse 9, the writer again tells the reader that he is John. He describes himself as the brother in the family of God. He did not think that he was better than them. He was just one of them. He suffered with them the same troubles they were suffering. That means he went through the same tribulations they went through. Jesus said, in the world, you would have trouble. That's over in John chapter 16, verse 33. And this is what Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3 and 12 says, all who want to live good lives in Christ Jesus will have trouble. The kingdom refers to the time when Jesus will come to rule. That will be the time of joy for Christians. You know, John expects to share that joy with them. This kingdom has partly come. But when Jesus comes, it will be completely here. So when Jesus comes back for his bride, you know, the kingdom, the heaven, the kingdom of God is going to be right here on earth. God is going to renovate it. And it's going to be right here on the earth. Until that future comes, Christians have to be patient. They have to live through all the troubles. They need to look beyond the present and to live for the future. We must put our confidence in Jesus, and we must trust God. John also trusts God with patience because, you know, for him to just pick John, it's awesome to be used by God. It's an awesome thing to be used by God, to have a gift, to be called on by God. It's such an awesome thing. And the time that I heard God, he wasn't calling me to do anything for him, but he was asking me, have I ever seen his glory? And I said, no, Lord. And he showed me his glory. And it was just balls of, it was clouds, and they was real, really, really bright, and they was just rolling and rolling. I never left my bedroom, not as far as I know. But however it was, I know it had to be a vision. It had to be a vision. I was not asleep. You know, and for something like that, I can't say it was God. I don't know. But he said he was. You know, he was asking me, had I ever seen his glory? So that made me feel like ain't nobody got glory but God. You know, so that made me figure that it was God the Father. You know, so it's something. I can imagine how, I guess, I was scared, or I wouldn't say afraid, but just at the name of Jesus, as the name of God, he would probably tremble. I know he was really very concerned about it. I'm not going to say afraid of anything, because when he did see that angel, he fell on his face. So let me keep going. I ain't going to tell you. No, we don't discuss this. John was on the island called Patmos. This was a small island of rock. It was about 10 miles long and 6 miles wide, and he did not choose to go there. The ruler sent him there. It was like a prison, and his crime was that he taught the word of God. He preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus. See, we have what we think is hard for us. And a lot of us, it is, because it's a lot of people over in China, they was locking them up. Over in Pakistan, they was locking them up, the Christians, they was preaching. And they was putting them in prison. But we haven't got that far yet over here in the United States. And I'm not going to say we won't, but for right now we have it. Verse 10 says, the church called the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. It was the first day because on the day Jesus rose from the dead, Christians choose the first day of the week in order to respect Christ. They met on the day to praise God together. John was in the Spirit. This means that the Holy Spirit came on him. The Spirit spoke to him and showed him many things. You know, I don't know if you ever had the Holy Spirit to come over you, but you can't really control it. Now, I'm going to tell you like this. Most of the time, if you're busy, if you got a lot on your mind, if you're doing a lot of things, you won't feel them right then. But when you get tired, and just settle down in your spirit, and you tired and where you can't control your mind, that's when he comes. That's when the Holy Spirit comes, because he can control your mind, and he can make those pictures in your mind. He's done it to me so many times, and I'm like, I'm so tired. I can't say nothing. I can't do nothing. I can't think. But that's what he wants. He wants us at a state where he can control what we see and what we hear. Otherwise, while he's talking, we're going to be thinking about what we want to think about. So, yeah, fell over John. And I can imagine, I can just imagine how he felt when that happened. Let me see if I can get something else to add to it. But anyway, the Spirit spoke to him and showed him many things. John heard a voice behind him. The trumpet makes a loud and clear sound. So this voice was loud and clear, and it was so clear and loud. I've heard people say that God hollered at them. You know, I have never heard him holler at me. He never hollered at me, but he did get my attention. He would be trying to talk to me. I'm doing everything that I want to do, or he trying to get me to pray for somebody, so he would push their faith directly up to my face. And I'm like, who is this? I could be driving, I could be reading, I could be cooking. He will do it. So that's why I say, when God gets ready for you to know something or do something, he will make you see it. He will let you see it. And so verse 11 says, oh, we read that. The voice told John to write what he saw. And when he had done this, he had to send it to the churches, seven churches. These seven churches were in Asia Minor, where they called it now it's Turkey, but it's Asia Minor then. Asia Minor was an area that is now a part of the modern Turkey. The churches were in seven cities. There were about 30 to 50 miles between them. The list starts at Ephesus, and it follows the road north to Pergamum. Then it goes to the south and the east to Laodicea. John had to send the whole book to each of these churches. In the book, there was a letter, because that's what this is, a letter, to each of the churches. John wrote the letters to real churches. They spoke about the problems in each church. They gave promises for those in each church who obeyed. In prophecy, the number seven means complete. We know that, or the whole number. Here there are seven churches. So the Lord speaks to the whole church, not just the seven churches, everybody. What John wrote is for the church as a whole. It is as true for the church of today as it was then. Verses 12 and 13, John heard the loud voice. Now, like I said, I've heard people say that God hollered at him or said it real loud. I don't know, but he's never done me like that. But I heard people say it, that he's done them like that. He turned to see who was speaking. The gold lamp holder means the seven churches. People use lamp holders so that the light will shine into dark places. This is the purpose of the church. It is to show the light of God to the people. That light means the gospel of Christ. So John saw a man moving among the light holders. He was like the Son of Man. This person was a man, but not just a man. He is moving than a man. No, he is more than a man. He is the Son of Man. The Son of Man was a name for the Lord Jesus. He was the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus was and is moving in his church. See, people think that God don't be around. And it's only normal and human that we think he's always up in heaven, in the spirit of heaven, and he's there. But his spirit is everywhere. You know, his spirit is everywhere. And in this word of God, God, he performs so many miracles until you don't know what's going to happen the next 2 or 3 minutes. You don't know what's going to happen. But God. The clothes that the man wore were those of a high priest. The Lord Jesus is our high priest. He has paid for all of our sins. By his death, he has united us with God, and he is always with us to help us. And we know that. We know God. We know he's always with us. Verse 14. John then describes the Son of Man. This is not so much a picture as an impression. White hair to the Jews shows age and wisdom. That's why they say wisdom comes with aged men and women. Because when you got that white hair, whether you're old or young, you have wisdom. They respected old age and gave honor to the wise person. The Son of Man deserves all honor. We can hide nothing from the eyes of the Son of Man. So John describes his eyes in a special way. It is as the flames of fire sees all things. The Son of Man sees all that happens in the churches. He knows all of history from the start to the end. He knows the thoughts and the actions of each person. And see, that's why I always say we can't hide nothing from God, because God sees everything. He sees everything. He's always there. I mean, the Holy Spirit is always with us. God is always there. You can call on him anytime. You can talk. You don't even have to be in prayer mode. You can just sit up and talk, and he'll talk back. He'll talk back. In verse 15, John still is describing him. He says, bronze is a metal that glows in the fire. People polish bronze so that it shines in the light. It is a very strong metal. The feet of bronze shows that the Son of Man is powerful. The sound of the waters remind us of their immense power. Such is the effect of the voice of Christ. Verse 16, the stars mean the angels of the churches. And I remember when I saw the Lord show me a lot of stars. At first, it was like headlights. The first time I saw them, I thought they were headlights. And then the prophetess told me that those were angels. And then the next vision he showed me, it was just, I guess, hundreds and hundreds of them. And he says, the stars mean the angels of the churches. Christ holds all of them in his right hand. So he has total control over all the churches. He looks after them and he protects them, because nobody can take them out of his hands. He has the sharp sword with two edges. This means that nobody can defeat him. Nobody. The sword comes out of his mouth. So the sword means his word. In the end, the word of Christ will defeat all his enemies. He will speak. What he says will happen. The word of God is sharper than any sword with two edges. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Then, we're going to read. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. Now we're going to read from 17, because we're done with up to 16. So we're going to start here at 17. It says, the consequences of the vision. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast, things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou seest are the seven churches. So John saw Jesus among the lampstand holders. That's where he saw Jesus at. He said he saw something like a man. The sight was so powerful that it made John afraid. That's what I was saying. Because when you're in the presence of God, you know, you'll know that you're in the presence. You can't do nothing. You can't stand up. It's almost like you did. When you in his presence, that anointing is so heavy, because I didn't know what it was. I thought he had his hand in the top of my head pushing it down. So the prophet, the apostle told me that was that the anointing was so heavy on me. Couldn't even raise my head up. I was like, oh my God. So I had never felt it like that. But the sight was so powerful that it made John afraid. The effect of what he saw caused him to fall down at the feet of Jesus. John was on the ground as if he was a dead man. He was like, oh my God, it was so heavy. Jesus put his right hand on John. This seemed to have put new life into John. Then Jesus said, do not be afraid. For those who belong to Jesus, there is nothing to make them afraid. Jesus tells John that he is the first and the last. This has the same meaning as verse 8. Above Jesus is one with God. He is God. Jesus adds to the meaning of the first and the last, I am living. God is the God who lives. Jesus shows that he is the same as God. He is God. The false gods of the world are not alive. It's only the one real God who lives. Jesus has always been alive, but he died. But death could not hold him. He defeated death. And he rose from the dead to live again, from the dead to live again. He is now alive, and he can never die again. Jesus has the keys of the place of dead people, hell. This means that he has power over that place, hell. Life and death are both under the control of Jesus. He is able to take his people through death to new life. This, again, shows that Jesus is God. Verse 19 says, Jesus then repeats the command to write. John must write all that he has already seen. This is what's in chapter 1. Then he must write about what is now. This is to write about the state of the seven churches, and then he must write about those things that are still in the future. The revelation that the Lord gave to John was for those churches. It is also for the church during all ages, and it is for the end period of history, which is yet to begin. So I'm going to read from, then verse 20 says, the seven stars mean the angels of seven churches. There was an angel at each church. This must be a real angel, or the word may mean the person who carries the letters to the church. But it is more likely that the angel was not an actual person. Probably the word angel meant the character of each church. So the Lord sent the letter to the churches by their angels. And I was supposed to have some on angels tonight. I don't have my whatever. Let me see. Because y'all know we different angels. You know, I taught on the angels before, and it's different angels. You have maybe four different types of angels. You have the cherubim and the cherubim, and you have you have angels. You have the seraphim, the cherubim, the Son of God, the morning stars, the watchers, the thrones, power, rulers, and authorities. And then you have the fallen angels. But it's different angels. And I got to, and maybe on Tuesday, I talk about the angels, because the angels are important, because you have angels that have spiritual bodies, and you have angels that have bodies that, like human bodies, that you can see. All flesh is not the same. There are heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies, a natural body, a spiritual body. These are angels. So God is using all of the angels. He used all of them because he got angels around him 24 hours a day crying, holy, holy, holy. That's why I say God don't need us to praise him, because he have angels to praise him. He don't need us. We should praise God all as much as we can, but if we don't, he's not suffering for it. He have angels praising him all the time. Probably the word angel meant the character of each church, so the Lord sent the letter to the churches by their angels. And I don't know if you ever seen an angel before. I have seen many, many, many. I seen one on the train when I was on my way back to Michigan from St. Louis. I had fell asleep. I was by myself, and I had my purse wrapped around my arm so nobody would bother me. And then it seemed like somebody kissed me on my jaw, a wet kiss, and I jumped up, and the first thing I grabbed was my purse. It was already in my hand, and I swung because this person was up so high. I swung up, and he looked down at me and raised his eyebrows up like, you swinging at me? And I sit down. I said, I wonder what that was. He was white, and he was doubled over in the train. In the car, box car, he was doubled over. And then I thought I had this dream. I'm like Paul so much. I don't know what I'm in the body. I don't know what's going on, but that actually happened to me. But it was my angel. And he knew I didn't know what's not, and he woke me up too. So that's, you know, I've had so many different experiences, and I thank God for every last one of them. So I'm going to read on from the, we started in the second chapter. Yep, the second chapter now. And this is the things which are the message to Ephesus. It says, verse 1 says, unto the angel of the church. Everybody, I hope everybody is with me and understanding what I'm saying. And if you don't, please let me know, because I do want you to understand this, because it's a promise and it's a promise to reading this book. It's a blessing for being obedient, reading and studying the book of Revelation. Okay. Until the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, this is Jesus. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how they cannot not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which said they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake had labored and had not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, and except thou repent. I'm going to read on down two more verses. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. So, okay. John was on the Isle of Patmos. There was a small, wait a minute, I'm reading it fast. Yeah, I'm getting confused here. Okay. Write to the angels of the church of Ephesus. I am Jesus. Okay, we're not going to go back over there. Verse 1, the Lord told John to write the first letter to the churches in Ephesus. Ephesus was the chief city in the region called Asia Minor. It was a major city for commerce and trade. Three great trade routes came from Ephesus. In it there were temples to the Roman kings, but the great temple was to the female god called Diana or Artemis. It was one of the greatest buildings in the ancient world. Each letter starts with part of the description of the Lord from chapter 1. Here is from verse 13 and 16, the letter comes from Jesus, who holds the seven stars. The word hold here is stronger than in chapter 1. The Lord grasps the stars, and he holds them firmly. They are safe in his hand. Nobody can take them from Jesus. He walks in the middle of the golden candlestick, the gold lamp holder. Jesus is present with them. He knows their situation. He knows all about his church then and now. This should both encourage and warn us, and it should, because Jesus is in control, and he got hold of the church. He knows our situations. He knows about the coronavirus. He knows about all the sickness, all the disease, all of the what's going on in the world, the killing and the fighting, and all. He knows all about it. And he said, "Can nobody take the churches out of his hands? Nobody, because Jesus got them. So we shouldn't be afraid. He know our situation. But this should encourage us, and it should warn us too. Chapter 2, verse 2 says, the church at Ephesus was active, and its members worked hard. They had almost worked too hard. The situation that they were in was not easy. There were many people in that city who hated the church. However, the church members did not stop when trouble came. The Lord approves of what they had done. But much of the trouble came from people who tried to join the church. Some of these people were false teachers. They said that they were apostles. They tried to persuade the church to believe them, but the church tested what they said. If anything did not agree with the word of God, the church refused it. The church at Ephesus believe that the word of God is the truth. The church at Ephesus refused those who proved to be false. And that's how you're supposed to try the spirit by the spirit of God. You have to, especially when you are leader of a church. God holds you accountable for who you let in the church and for who you let in the pulpit. He holds the leader accountable for that. Verse 3 says, this verse repeats that the church at Ephesus has been patient. They had suffered much trouble. They were patient as they suffered for Jesus. They had troubles because they lived for Jesus. Through all the problems, they remained true to Jesus, the church of Ephesus. They did not turn away from him. And that's what we got to be. We got to be patient. We got to know that God is in control. We got to know that trouble don't last always. Trouble comes, but it don't last always. It don't last always. It's just like, the weapon going to form, but it won't prosper. Trouble comes, but it's not going to stay. Because God has already overcome the world. He already got us. We don't have to worry about that. This church did what was right. They were careful to teach the truth. They would not believe what was wrong or false. All this was good, but it was not enough. They had lost the most important thing. These Christians right here did not love as they used to. They did not love God as much as when they first became Christians. Their love for each other was not as strong as it had been. But a hot object becomes cool. And their love for God and for other people had become less. But I'm going to read this last verse. They had left their first love. That's what happened. You know, love is so important to God. Love your heart. The love that you're supposed to have from God is so important. So they had left their first love. They didn't love God like they used to. That means they went to church just out of habit. They were just doing what they had to do. You know, they didn't love their neighbor as they self. Less long about loving God with all of their heart and their mind and their spirit and soul. They didn't love God like that anymore, but they knew that, you know, they had to love him some, but they had left their first love. They left their first love, I guess, by them just doing it over and over and over, it was getting old to them. So I guess they felt like they wanted to try something else or wasn't, however they did. But we had to be careful of that. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing we could ever do. Falling in love and staying in love. The Greek says you have fallen. The first love was like a high place. They had fallen from that high place. Their love was not now as strong as it was then. The Lord says to them, remember, at that time, their love for God was so strong. Also, they loved each other, and they worked for each other. Now, it was not the same. They had lost something of that first love. They must turn again. They must do as they used to. Love must again be very important in their lives. Gotta be. Love for God must be the reason for their actions. Their actions must show love for each other. Action without love have no worth at all. Have no, not any words. Don't mean nothing without love. I don't care what you do. The Lord warns them to repent. If they do not repent, the church will end. Jesus will come and remove the lamp holder. All the other things that the church in Ephesus did were good, but the most important thing was their love. Love is more important than good action, good deeds, good anything. But love will always produce good things and good action if you have love. You know, and that's so important. That's why I say love, it covers a multitude of sins. Love, but I mean, you can do everything else, all your good deeds and all of this, and encouraging people and doing all kind of stuff. But if you don't have love with you, you got to have love with everything you do. Everything you do. Got to be love with you. And that's the word of God. And it's an awesome word. Believe me, it is. So I hope everybody is just kind of coming in, catching a little bit of it. I really thank God because I'm so excited about it. I am so excited. And it's a good thing. Oh, you know what? I didn't even pray. Okay, I'm going to just pray a little prayer. I'm just going to get ready to close out, though. But, to me, this was good, and because I pray for you all the time anyway. But this was good because we need to know and study the book of Revelation because it's going to tell us the end, what the end is going to be. It's going to tell us the end. It tells the future, the book of Revelation. So we want to know. We want to know how to get prepared. We want to know the things we're supposed to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come asking you to cover us in the blood of Jesus and encamp your angels all around about us to protect us from all hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice on tonight. Bless their families, Lord. Keep them all covered under the blood of Jesus on tonight. Encamp your angels, Lord, in their cars and at work and at the grocery store, at the doctor's office, wherever they at, Lord, I ask you to keep every one of them covered under the blood of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask you on tonight to just lead them and guide them in the way that you would have them to go, Lord, and in the name of Jesus. And Father, we believe and trust you. We know tonight that you're in control of everything, Lord. in the name of Jesus. You're in control, and we trust you, Lord, and we believe your word, Lord, and we know you're going to do what you said you would. You promised us, Lord, and we thank you today. We give you glory. We give you praise. Lord, I pray for everyone, men, women, boys, and girls all over the earth. In the name of Jesus, I ask you right now to cover them, Lord, in the blood of Jesus. Keep them covered. Encamp your angels all around about them to protect them, Lord. I ask you to bless President Trump and everybody that have rule over us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, you can change his mind. In the name of Jesus, you are mind regulator. You are a heart fixer, Lord, and we know you can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, Lord. We just give you praise on tonight, and we give you glory tonight, Lord. You are a fantastic God. You are a loving God, and we thank you, Lord, for the things that you do for us, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord, and we thank you for blessing our enemies tonight. We thank you for forgiving them for what they said and done against us, Lord. Bless them anyway, Lord. Bless the sick and the shedding in them. Bless those behind prison walls. Bless those in mental institutions. Bless those that's in the hospitals. In ICU, Lord. In the neonatal intensive care unit, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I'm asking you tonight to bless right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. And we give you glory to God, Lord. We just thank you right now, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Hit up with the end. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for looking down on us and having mercy tonight. And thank you for your grace, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for your mercy. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for our ups. And we thank you for our downs. We thank you for when we're on the mountaintop. And we thank you for when we're in the valley. We thank you, Lord. We thank you tonight, and we give you glory. We give you praise, Lord, and we give you glory. We ask you to bless the children, bless the seed, bless those protesters, bless them, Lord. Cover them, keep them covered under the blood of Jesus on tonight. Bless every state of the union, Lord. Bless them, Lord, and keep them covered, Lord, and cover your people, Lord, and for the enemy come to kill, steal, and destroy them. But you come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise and we give you glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord maketh his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift thee up.
Yeah, yeah.
Upon thee and give thee peace.
Oh,
amen.
Oh, mama.
God love you all. Lord, this meant God loves you and I love you too. God bless. Have a good night.
Truth is, I'm tired, absent of you. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left to do. Truth is, I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try. But still my soul refuses to die. One earth will take my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart to you this